Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship.
A reading from Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening quails came down and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'"
Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went back about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also, go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he came out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. He said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also, go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last work only an hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?" But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose, what belongs to me? Or are you envious that I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, broken hearts, bursting hearts, slow hearts, ready hearts, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. So the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who hires some workers. Hires them through an agency, maybe. Or more likely, he drives into the village square where the laborers are all waiting to be hired. And he hires a group of them for the typical daily wage and sets them to work. It's probably, 7 a.m. Always good to get an early start in the vineyard. And then around 9, he goes back to the vineyard and he hires a couple more. During the lunch break, he heads out again, hires yet more workers, agreeing to pay them fairly. At 3 p.m., he goes out again. And then finally at 5 p.m., he goes out once more and finds still others in the village square. And he hires them too. It's a good guy. At 6 p.m., the whistle blows, day is done, and the workers come to the foreman to be paid. And as instructed, the foreman pays the latecomers first, and those who worked for the whole day last. Those who worked for an hour were paid a full day's wage. Wow. So were the 3 o'clockers, so were the nooners and the niners, each group becoming, a little more miffed than the last. And then finally, the group that worked the whole day are rewarded for their labors, the exact same wage as those who worked for only an hour. And they are not happy. They had worked harder and longer, but had received, no more benefit. And the landowner says, in essence, suck it up. It's my money. I can do with it as I please. And they're left speechless. That happens a lot when Jesus tells a story. But especially this story. So many people are bothered by this story. Men, quite often, are bothered by this story. Farmers, at least in my old church community, oh my gosh, lots of farmers. And I can't think of any of them that liked this story one bit. No, they hated it. Life is actually fairly straightforward. Come to work, do your job, get paid. That's how it works. None of this wandering in at the end of the day, napping while the others are busy bringing in the hay. No. No, you can't just pretend to work as hard as everybody else. No, you actually have to put in the work to get the reward. So unless you are bone tired and exhausted, you ain't worked hard enough. Paid the same as the one? Oh, no. And, I guess I have to agree with them to a point. I don't know how many people are showing up for work tomorrow at 6 a.m., or 7 a.m. I don't know. And then you think about the whole inequity of it, and you realize, The workers, they ought to form a union so that they could manage the means of production and the distribution of profits in a fair and equitable manner. That'd do it. Watch your mouth. Oh yeah, I've heard that one. Nobody's talking union here. My old community, full of people that I love to this day, were almost equal parts GM workers and farmers. They did not agree on how to understand this story, but neither side liked it. Maybe Jesus is onto something. If you can upset both sides, and maybe that is what he's trying to do. Maybe he just really wants to get us upset, riled up about it. Because the thing is, when I look at the story, I don't think that Jesus is trying to confuse us, because it's not a confusing story. I don't think that he's actually advocating for a union, because it really goes no further. He's certainly not trying to teach us a business management course, because that is a really bad way to pay your workers. No, I think he is trying to upset us or challenge us. I think he's trying to tell us about the kingdom of God. And so, the kingdom of God does challenge us. Jesus does challenge me with this story. he challenges me because, well, you know what? I am a guy who comes to work early and stays late. I am that guy. I set up the coffee before the meeting. I put away chairs afterwards. I do work until I ache. I reach for the check first. I volunteer. I support a number of important charities, and I work for justice. I do my best to love actively and recklessly. I had coffee thrown at me in a counter-protest earlier this week. And I'm a good dad. At least I try to be a good dad. And I'm a pretty good grandpa. I mean, you know, my wife and I, we babysit our granddaughter. I have officiated at 2 weddings for my son. My wife and I even catered one of the weddings. And I put time and effort into the Toronto Urban Native Ministry. I'm on the board of a wonderful Toronto theater company that highlights the work of female artists. In short, I'm a good guy. I really am. And I don't want special treatment. No, not for a second. But deep down inside, there's this little part of me, just a tiny part, so small, I don't even want to mention it. But there is a little part of me that thinks I might deserve a better deal than the guy that does nothing. The guy that threw coffee on me. It is interesting, you know, when you think about it, how most of us think of ourselves in that story as the worker who showed up at the beginning of the day, right? We're the workers. We never think of ourselves as the worker who shows up at 5 and only works for an hour. No, we don't even think about that worker, you know, other than to note that he didn't work as hard as we did. He's not as good as we are. But the landowner has paid that 1 hour worker first, forcing all of us to consider that worker. We can't ignore them. We have to look at them. We have to consider them. And then we watch her get paid the same wage that we get paid. But as we're looking, we recognize a worker who wanted to work, but wasn't picked. Right, remember that. This isn't the grasshopper who lazes around while the ants go to work. This is a worker who waited all day in hope. Why are you still here? The landowner asked. Well, nobody has hired us. This worker has a family to feed, and a family that is just as hungry as the family of the guy who was picked to work at the beginning of the day. This is a woman who would set up the coffee and put away the chairs, but she's too shy to volunteer because she'll probably mess it up and then no one will like the coffee. And this is a worker who would reach for the check first, except that he needs to know how much it is, you know, in case he doesn't have enough money. This is a worker who would support 10 children through World Vision, but just had to spend her last $20 buying colored pencils for her daughter in grade 3. And would gladly officiate his son's wedding if he had a child. A worker that never once has called me smug, self-important, or full of myself. Although they probably could. Now, this parable challenges me. Challenges me to think about others, the ones that I would often ignore, the one-hour workers. The ones who have the same hopes and dreams, the same needs, the same desires as me, but live very different lives. And it challenges me to remember times when I actually haven't been picked first. Yeah. I was at a class reunion last night. Oh my God. Folks that I haven't seen in 40, 50 years, some of them. And of course, there was this great big slideshow, you know, pictures from everyone. Everyone had old pictures from the old days. We put them all up there. And then there was this picture. There was this great picture of a bunch of my friends standing in an outside basketball court when they were 15. And I recognized the picture right away because I helped organize those games. I'd be on the phone calling people, getting them there. Saturday mornings at St. Gabe's. And I loved to play basketball. I just wasn't very good at it. And as I looked at the picture, I was wondering, like, where the heck am I? I know everybody in the picture. I was at all the games. And then it dawned on me. I was probably just outside the picture, waiting to be picked for one of the teams. Because I was nearly always picked last. Yeah, I can't move to my right very well. I have a poor jump shot, and I occasionally look at the ball when I'm dribbling. It stinks to be picked last. I loved basketball, but it was not one of my gifts. I hated to be picked last, but I loved to play. The kingdom of God is like a basketball game where everybody is picked first and everybody is in the picture. You see, that's what Jesus is doing with this parable. Not teaching us business management, not just challenging me or challenging us. No, with this parable, Jesus is helping us to imagine the kingdom of God. What life is like when we live the way that God would have us live, when we do God's will. Jesus is trying to give us the whole picture. The kingdom of God, God's will, is that everybody gets what they need for the day. But this parable isn't just about God's generosity, because it also falls on us. You see, the one-hour worker is paid a whole day's wage, which is lovely. But then the whole-day worker, who worked 12 times the hours that the other one worked, well, he feels that he deserves 12 times the reward. I get it. That's a fair expectation. Now, we could insist that the late worker get paid, well, 1/12 of the wage that the person who worked the whole day got paid. But the thing is, that would mean that that person doesn't have enough to feed their family. So you know what? Okay, you're right. You should feed your family. Here is a full day's wage. Well, but then the one who worked all day should get 12 days worth of wages. I mean, that's only fair. That's the way you do it. Except that the vineyard owner can't afford to run a vineyard like that. They go, well, yeah, but it's God. God can afford it. But it's not. It's not God. It's the kingdom of God. It's what the world looks like when we all participate in God's will. The kingdom of God is not thrust upon us. It's what comes if we participate. The kingdom of God asks, how is it harvest time, and yet there are still people in the community without work? How is that possible? Shouldn't the harvest be Thanksgiving for everybody? It's the time of plenty, for goodness sakes. The landowner, he went back to hire workers several times. Now ask yourself, why? Why did he go back again and again and again? I mean, is it because his heart softened and he began to care about the ones that he hadn't hired earlier? Is it because he's really bad at managing and he didn't really figure out how many workers he needs? Suddenly, oh gosh, I should have hired more, and goes back? Or is it because each time he hired some workers on, he was kind of hoping that maybe the other landowners would also follow suit? That others might take up the cause of fair wage and justice for everyone, especially in the time of harvest. This is the kingdom of God, not an act of God. This is what happens when we are in this together, living God's will with each other. The kingdom of God is a community. Not a bunch of people believing that God's going to take care of justice while we get rich. That's not how it works. And the kingdom of God can't run on a false economy any more than our real world can. It simply can't. So if everyone's going to get a living wage, then some of us are going to have to live with being treated unfairly. That's how it works. I have 3 kids. You probably know that. And I love them all. I hope you know that. And all 3 went to college and university. So there were many, many years of tuition. And with one of my sons, I helped pay for 6 years. Another, I paid outright for 3. Another, I bribed with 2 years of full coverage and then several years of living rent-free. And at no point did I consider equalization payments to keep it fair with all three of my kids. At no time did I consider a limit to my help, other than when I ran out of money. When my married son brings his wife to Thanksgiving dinner, and the youngest brings his fiancée, I don't give my single partner-free eldest son extra food because the ones with partners are consuming more turkey. It's not the way it works. I mean, that would be fair, I suppose, but ridiculous. As a parent, I want my children to have what they need. It's not fair. Fair is a place where pigs get ribbons, a friend of mine used to say. No, in my family, it's not about fair. It's about love. It's about having enough to cover your needs and maybe indulge in a couple of your wants. It's about having dignity. It's not about proving yourself. It's about knowing that you are loved before you've done a single thing. So too, the kingdom of God. It's not fair. It's loving. It's not about judgment. It's about having enough. It's not about winning or outdoing. It's about trying. It's about being out there ready to work or ready to love, even when you're not picked right away. And that may be frustrating if you are already a fantastic go-getter who's worked hard, is at the top of their game, and has it all figured out. Yeah, it is frustrating. But it is great news to those of us who don't get picked first, who apply for job after job only to be told, "We've decided to go in another direction, but we'll keep your resume on file," again and again. It's great news for those of us who struggle to make ends meet and wonder why we're not as good as the people who seem to have it all. It's great news for those of us who wonder, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I lovable? Why don't I ever get picked? It's great news for those of us who wonder if there's any hope to do anything meaningful with my life. After all, I'm not young anymore. I've got nothing left to offer. It's great news for all of us who wonder if we've missed our chance. The kingdom of God is a place where we're not judged on how much we have done or how much we can do, where or when we're picked. The kingdom of God is not a place where the world determines our value or even where we determine our value. God does. God determines our value, and God's value is love. God loves us. The kingdom of God is a place where there is room and need for our love, for what we have to offer, where there is work and reward for us all, not just for the early birds or the fortunate, but simply the willing. That's the promise. And God keeps promises. It's also the mission, the ministry, and the challenge. Because you may remember that the kingdom of God, as Jesus has told us time and time again, is in our hands. So when you're deciding what to do next, when you're deciding which direction to take, when you're working for change, when you're shaping the world, help to shape a world where there is enough for everyone, where opportunities continue, where none of us have a best before date, where love is offered not just for the fortunate or even the deserving, but to all. And in that, we may not be great managers, but we will be participants in the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
God of the kingdom of God, not a miracle of your action, but an invitation for ours. Let us live according to your will, led by your love and inspired by Jesus. We give thanks for the wonders of our lives. An orange moon this week, beautiful days and refreshing nights. We give thanks for the changing seasons. The movement of time that reminds us that change is not the enemy, and that we can afford to let go of the past, not only so that we can embrace the present, but so that we might be part of the rhythm of life. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. New life, summer, autumn, winter, new life again. We give thanks for new seasons and new days, a chance to start fresh in any moment. God, the rhythm of life has been hard this week. Government policies have changed, accusations and tensions have arisen, and our cynicism dulls our ability to engage. Parents and advocates, those who would claim to love both children and education, find themselves in conflict as demonstrations and protests cause scenes of violence and blinding anger. No side can claim you. No side can claim the high ground as both cry for justice and compassion. If only each side could claim the other as sibling in you. Recognize people who care in the other. If only each side could listen with their hearts and share experience. It might not solve the issue, but it might allow us to find a better way forward. One that cherishes life, experiences and shares love that is both broad and deep. God, we need to protect our children, even as we recognize that we are your children, that real lives are at stake, not just politics, and that love is the only way to justice. We cannot legislate love, God, so we pray for your presence and your guidance. Strength and courage as we dare to listen to each other, as we dare to cure ignorance with knowledge and create a world where all can be safe, seen, and heard. On this day, we pray for those in our faces, the ones on the other side, those who would provoke, demean, demand, manipulate, and oppress. It is hard to pray for such people, God, but we recall that Jesus did exactly that, praying for those who both persecuted and executed him. Let us do our best to follow in his footsteps. God, we pray for those beyond our vision, so engaged with life as it presents itself at our front door, we can lose track of those around the corner or across the world. We cannot hear the bombs so far away, or the cries of hunger and anguish. We don't know how to connect with those that we don't know. And yet, we do know that our siblings, your children, are suffering in the world. Victims of war or oppression, poverty or neglect, injustice and indifference. God, please be with those who struggle and keep us alert to opportunities to provide support, hope, and love to those whose names are not known to us, but whose humanity is known to us. And God, we pray for those in our hearts, the ones about whom we tell stories or sometimes just keep to ourselves, the ones that we miss or delight in seeing, the ones that cross our minds for no reason at all sometimes, and for every reason as we hold them in love. God, may the love that we share with those in our hearts be transforming for us both. may it reflect your love. God, we do struggle, but we also delight. We delight in your creation and being part of your creation. We ask that we never take such delight for granted, but that we share it as often as we can. Please, God, let our lives be marked not only with commitment, but even more with gratitude. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Go forth from this moment and don't just experience the kingdom of God, but share the kingdom of God. Go out into the world knowing that whether you feel like you've been picked first or last, the important thing is you have been picked, embraced by God, first, last, and all the times in between. Go forth and know that God the Creator is with you. Know that Jesus walks with you, walks with us all. And know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Until we gather again, virtually or in person, amen.